Underneath the southern Atlantic Ocean, huge currents crisscross the sea like an invisible highway system. The currents carry sea life, from tiny crustaceans to killer whales and migrating penguins. Commercial fishing fleets also work these currents. As the number of fishing boats increases, so does the pressure on the food supply for marine life. For the latest National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Christopher Joyce went to Patagonia in Argentina to observe some of these animals and to see how they're faring in the competition with humans.
On the public beach at Golfo Nuevo, you can wade 30 yards out into the bay without getting your shorts wet. To get a boat out there deep enough to start the motor, you push it out on a trailer using a tractor.
All right. So let's go on board.
Claudio Campana is an Argentine biologist with the Wildlife Conservation Society. He's tall, animated, and passionate about this place. He was a city kid in Buenos Aires when he started coming to Patagonia to see the magnificent animals that live along the coast of southeastern South America. Now he spends a good part of his life out on the ocean.
The most important factor here is the Falklands Malvinas current, which is the backbone of the entire ecosystem.
You have to understand that current to understand why exotic marine wildlife comes here. It's like an eddy spinning away from the gigantic circumpolar current that surrounds Antarctica. The eddy moves north up the coast of Argentina.
And when it's flowing north, what happens is that it finds a huge wall, 2,000 or 3,000 meters tall, let's say, if you would like to think of it as a mountain. And this is the edge of the continental shelf.
The current is cold, so it sinks, and that stirs up nutrients from the bottom that attract fish and things that eat fish.
And the edge of the shelf sustains species like the wandering albatross, for example, the black-browed albatross, and the giant petrel, and the sooty petrels, and the Antarctic fur seals, southern elephant seals, southern sea lions, southern right whales, and on and on. These are all extraordinary species, extraordinary wildlife spectacles that are being sustained by these very productive seas.
Wildlife spectacles so astonishing that Campana decided to quit being a doctor in the city. He worked on research boats like this one, but his favorite places were the deserted beaches of the Valdez Peninsula, the domain of the giant elephant seal.
What you have here is a group of 2, 4, 6, about 12 animals. Most of these are males. And there are 2, 3 in the water. You see them?
Elephant seals, a dozen feet long, several thousand pounds each. Their shape is something between a sausage and a submarine, with flippers at the end and on the sides. They have a few big teeth and a very large red mouth.
Well, first of all, you let them see. You see, this animal already is watching us, and they would feel threatened if we position ourselves between the sea and them.
When these mammals are out at sea, they collapse their lungs so they can dive more easily. They store lots of oxygen in their blood and muscles, enough to spend half an hour in deep water hunting for fish. Now, lolling on the beach, they're in the middle of a molt, shedding old skin for new. Old skin is spiky and peels away in clumps.
It's itchy. They scratch a lot during this time. And when we see them, sometimes you have this temptation to go and help them, you know, peel them a little bit. Of course we don't do it.
Why not?
Well, because it's first of all, elephants will not be sympathetic about our feelings to help.
You can get close, though, if you have Campana as a guide. He can't resist stroking the flippers on a big male. The flipper has a numbered identification tag. Campana or one of his students attached it years ago to track the seal's movements and reproductive success.
So it's B2253 left, X4, 0% molted in Playa Almuerzo. The date, and that's good information for our database. It gives us an idea that he's still alive after the breeding season. So, you know, he has been at sea for the last 2 months, diving day and night, exposed to predators. But he made it.
two young males rise from the shallows. They're mock fighting. They are formidable, even for the killer whales and sharks that prey on them. But most fights are over female seals. Victory means immortality. Two or three males, the dominant ones, will inseminate over half the females in a herd. Elephant seals, like all the marine animals here, need lots of fish and squid to survive. So do the fishing fleets. At the port town of Rawson, fisherman Leonardo Juan Iglesias insists that the local fleet is small and no threat to wildlife.
We fishermen don't bother the penguins or sea lions. We don't bother them, and they don't bother us.
But foreign fishing fleets are not small. Argentine officials and conservationists say more big fishing trawlers are moving in. Graham Harris is an Argentine conservationist with the Patagonia Nature Fund and WCS. He says Argentines don't pay much attention to what happens to their fish in their waters.
One of the big problems is that we don't eat fish, and therefore we're basically exporting everything that we catch.
Fish and the exotic mammals and birds that depend on them have almost no constituency in meat-loving Argentina. People aren't paying much attention to fishing fleets.
My interest is obviously what effect these fishing fleets could have on the birds and mammals that also depend on these resources.
A few miles offshore in Golfo Nuevo, a foreign fishing boat sits at anchor, rusting away. It was seized for fishing illegally. Harris says Argentina does try to restrict fishing along the coast. But how much fishing can be tolerated here is difficult to know. Harris and Campagna keep watch at places like Punta Loma, a curve of limestone cliffs that loom over a green sea. Colonies of sea lions, cormorants, and terns live here. The adults spend days at sea foraging for food while the young wait here. Graham Harris says the deep ocean is their larder.
It's very different to try and protect animals at sea, and of course all these animals are feeding at sea. We've concentrated our efforts on the coast, protecting the animals on shore, but from now on I think the big challenge is to try and do it at sea.
To find out how to do that, the two scientists may sit for days in a cliffside hut or on a windy beach, watching sea lions feed their young or monitoring elephant seal migrations. For Campagna, a man who enjoys fine cuisine and fast motorcycles, a life without something wild in it is only half a life.
What I would say is that there are certainly two sources of fascination in this world. One is human culture. But I think that in order to be a complete human being, if you want a wilder perspective of life, you have to be able to approach nature with the same receptivity that you would approach some of the best products of human behavior.
Harris and Campagna are talking with Argentine authorities and wildlife groups about zoning the ocean here. They would subdivide part of the South Atlantic into regions so that marine mammals and birds and fishing fleets drawn by the great southern ocean currents can coexist. For Radio Expeditions, this is Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and National Geographic. Expedition photographs and maps are at npr.org.